Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of What's Your Story, where we have conversations with powerful storytellers who've made an impact in pop culture. Today, I have with me Ryan Fernando. Ryan Fernando is a nutrition coach responsible for several dramatic transformations in his celebrity clients, such as Aamir Khan, Fardeen Khan, and Robin Uthappa, to name a few. He's worked with sportspersons like Virat Kohli, PV Sindhu, and others from various walks of life. He's dedicated his life to food and food science over the last 20 years, and his approach to diet is closely guided by advanced blood, allergy, and genetic testing, and understanding the way each body reacts to different foods. His latest book is called Wheatless. Hello, Ryan. Welcome to the show. Fantastic.
Hey, Manini. Thanks for having me. I hope you're well and you're eating good.
I can't really say yes to that, because I'm having a terrible week diet-wise, but I hope to get back on the horse very soon.
We'll get you there.
I'm excited to have this conversation with you because I personally want so many insights, and you're doing a lot of work in, you know, like really like upcoming fields in nutrition science, which people are not really aware about. So I really want this conversation for someone like you to bring awareness to things like nutrigenomics that you talk about, specifically epigenetics, so that people are more aware. And I'm sure our listeners would like to delve a little bit more into these topics. But first, let us start about your book. Tell me a little bit about your book.
So, I'm a nutritionist. I've studied at Goa Medical College. And at the age of 18, 19, 20, 21, I had a lot of acne, pimples. A little bit of a sensitive, delicate, darling tummy, couldn't eat spicy food. And till the age of 34, 35, I had very bad acne. So I still have the battle scars till today of pitted skin. And I wouldn't wish this upon any teenager, you know. And nobody ever told me that it was the diet that caused the acne. Even doctors till today say, we don't know, it's hormones. It's not hormones, it's your diet. And at 34, I did the genetic testing called nutrigenomics. When I started my Koa Nutrition Clinics, that's where I practice. I have 75 dietitians on my team. So I was obviously a clinical biochemist turned nutritionist. And at the medical college, I could decipher the blood tests, and I hated working in the lab. So I moved out into nutrition because it's more the interface and interaction with people. But I would integrate the blood tests. So look at vitamin D, B12, liver function, kidney function, and then describe the nutrition to help the person. But around 2010-11, there was this American company that came to me, and we started doing nutrition gene testing in India when nobody heard about it. Yeah. In fact, I've been slapped dime by dozen by doctors who say that this is all hocus pocus at that time. And today, you know, 2023, I just finished, before this interview, I finished looking at a mail where there's a massive training program for doctors on nutrigenomics. And the whole perspective was, when I did the DNA test, it came back that I was gluten intolerant. And thus started the journey of me eliminating gluten, finding out that for the first time in my life, I have no longer acne, just poof, disappeared. Like, my skin was a chemical factory. You could extract benzoyl peroxide or Clearasil or Sebamed or whatever you call it. I have tried Clindac. I've tried everything with every dermatologist. It just didn't work. Oral, topical, it just didn't work. And I was like, okay, let me give up bread and wheat. You know, and I'm a Goan by genetics. And I gave up gluten. It was difficult to give up bread. We Goans are known as pawwalas. And I ate bread at breakfast, lunch, dinner. So I stopped bread, chapati, everything. And in about 9 or 10 days, Manini, poof, all the pimples began to dry up, which is something that never happened. They would dry up, but there was another guy coming around on the bus station waiting for the next train to come in of a pimple. So I was like, there's something. And I continued for about 3 months, and then I got a clear face. My wife said to me, wow, I've never seen you having a clear face in your entire life. And I was like happy, and I went for 3 months with that. And fourth month, I was like, enough is enough. I'll go back to eating my bread. I ate my first bread next day morning, one pimple came out. Now, I don't know if it was placebo effect, but I continued for 3-4 days, got a massive headache. And then I was like, dude, there's something about this. So then I started getting people who did all of this nutrigenomic testing. And the moment I got a positive test, I lifted people off gluten. I convinced them. Right? And right. Very interestingly, Banini, I've done the genetic testing and the food intolerance blood test. And I've had people with genetic positive, but blood test saying you're not yet getting slapped by gluten.
Oh, right, right, right.
So then I have the psychological battle of counseling with them to give up pastries and biscuits. And you know what? Just today, somebody ate a pizza in front of me. My mouth was still salivating. But I don't eat it anymore because I know it causes brain fog. I know it causes my headache. I know I can't lift heavy in the gym. So from that perspective, I think all these experiences with maybe about close to 1,000 people since 2012 and about 2021, I then was approached by Rupa Publications, who's the publisher. And they just kept convincing me during the pandemic, write a book, write a book, write a book. And I was like, listen, if I write a book, nobody reads books today, right? She said, just write a book and get it done. So we did it. We wrote the book and it took me so much of time to write it because I'm so busy in the counselings and then running two companies. But I did it. And now I can tell you after the book has come out, in fact, they went in for a second run already.
Right.
So that's I was fantastic. Pretty stoked about that. We have a digital copy also available on Amazon. So it's got a global outreach. When I realized it started to work is when I started getting private LinkedIn and Instagram messages, Manini, where people were saying, Ryan, we read the book Wheatless. Nice name. Yeah. You know, it actually says
eat less,
but then there's a WH over there. And people are messaging and saying, I read the book and I did not do the genetic testing, but I'm really convinced to kind of like stop gluten. And I did it for 1 month. And do you know what? These things happen. So I got one mail where the lady said she had fibroids and she stopped it. And then 3 months later, and the book was just launched now in April. So she just recently messaged and says, you know what? I went for my scan again and my fibroids have shrunk in size. So how do you talk about wheat and fibroids? So wheat causes inflammation in the human body. Ryan Fernando may have got pimples. I had a 12-year-old kid who was losing his eyebrows and eyelashes. That's called alopecia areata, which is where gluten goes and slaps your immune system. And your immune system is so frustrated, it starts punching what it feels like. So if it punches your hair follicles, alopecia areata. If it punches your thyroid, Hashimoto's or Graves' disease. If it punches your pancreas, it could be insulin type 1 diabetes. So I feel that gluten in the next 10 years will come across as a significant trigger.
Right.
And doctors will begin to ask people to get tested to assume and check their bio-individuality. So this is where I think writing this book started on a journey. I don't know where it's going to go, but I know this much, Manini. Writing the book, if one person's life out there gets changed for, what, 295 rupees? I'm super stoked because I know that that person won't have to suffer what I suffer today, which is I have lovely skin, but it's got portholes in it.
Right.
So it could be skin, it could be cancer related. Oh, by the way, heart attacks. Did you know that gluten increases the stickiness of plaque?
Wow.
Right. So let's say there's a heart patient out there in the world trying to reduce the cholesterol. Now, gluten doesn't reduce cholesterol, but gluten goes and slaps plaque and makes it much more stickier. So the next fatty molecule of triglycerides or cholesterol that comes along, which is subjected to a high sugar, gets sticky and forms more plaque, more blockage, higher risk of a heart attack. So I think there's an indirect correlation to the diet, the choice of foods that you begin to identify which are slapping you or what I call as antigens or allergic molecules. And removing those molecules out, you have a better health.
So in a population, are you saying like majority would be sensitive to gluten?
I am only saying via my book that when I go out and buy a car, right, I have to get a driver's license. When you go out and change your diet, you first get tested.
Right.
And then eliminate whatever the test is saying that doesn't agree with your genetics or your blood chemistry. But I don't believe everyone is gluten sensitive. What portion of the population? I can tell you the statistics of the people that I have counseled. probably at close to about 9,000 people at our clinics over the last decade. And I can tell you there's about a 20% prevalence of gluten sensitivity for those who have tested. Now, not all 9,000 tested, only about 3,000 people have tested, mm-hmm. right? So the B positive group, I have noticed, and I take a bet with people when they walk into my clinic, those are B positive. Manini, what's your blood group?
Actually, I'm O negative.
You're O negative. Chances are not very high, but B positive blood group on the genetic test, which is the HLA-DQ gene. And there are five variations of them. And if you have some of them positive, high chances in the B positive blood group that people mm-hmm. will have a gluten sensitivity.
Right. Well, this is fascinating to hear. But you're basically telling me I cannot have croissants, cake.
Oh, yeah. Me and
all
my wife.
All the things that make life very nice.
Me and my wife haven't visited Paris because I looked at her one and said, what we'll go to Paris and do? The whole place is coffee and croissants. You and I don't drink coffee. You don't have gluten. Why would we go to Paris? Because my clients tell me if you go to Paris, you don't get gluten-free croissants.
Yes.
So it's quite difficult.
Yes.
But by the way, Bangalore is changing. Delhi is changing. Bombay is changing. Pune is changing. Kolkata is changing. The key metros are changing with gluten-free bakers coming in. And I'll tell you why this is happening, Manini. The people that have the money are at the Maslow's law of hierarchy, which is at the top of the pyramid. Those that are aware, right. Those that are the first movers or the first users. They're the people who have the disposable income to say that I've got everything in life. Roti, kapda, makan, house, everything. Mm-hmm. Vacation mm-hmm. in Goa, vacation in Barbados, two cars in the house, two houses in one city, an overseas beach home. They're the people that are coming and saying, I want to do a diet plan, and then they get tested. Most of these affluent people then are becoming food producers or food growers. So hence, in the larger cities, we are getting these wonderful boutique signature bakeries propping up, which is what I mentioned in my book. So mm-hmm. I've actually given the diet chart in my book. For example, I've given the recipes in the book. I've even given the locations in the key metro cities in India. And if anyone's listening in, and you have a gluten-free business and you want to be featured in my digital editions where I keep doing revisions, then please hit me up on my Instagram channel and tell me about your business, about your address and what you do. And please send me one of those gluten-free croissants because I may be a nutritionist, but I still am a human being that sins quite a lot. So I would love to sink my teeth into a gluten-free croissant. In fact, my mouth is watering right now. It's late evening and I want to have something sweet.
All the healthy, like the alternatives, like if you use almond flour or coconut flour, is that okay? That's fine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's Manini, fine. You hit it bang on the head that you could do corn flour, you could do almond flour, coconut flour, you can do buckwheat, you can do quinoa, you can do rice. A lot of people believe that rice is not gluten-free, but it is.
Yeah.
Your only three culprits on the planet are barley, wheat, and rye. Now, oats has a type of gluten in it called avenin. And it does get cross-contaminated from wheat. The people who need to be very cautious and be very, very diligent are people who are known as celiacs. So celiac is a very, very debilitating disease and they have a very high sensitivity to gluten.
Right.
But the remaining people may be just DNA gluten intolerant. Like, I can eat gluten, I'm not going to die. But I get my symptoms of whatever. So what I do is I take a gluten rescue enzyme, which is a digestive enzyme. So that helps me process gluten. I can't do it 3 days in a row because then I begin to get massive sinus blocks. And I never knew why all my life I thought I was allergic to dust. I wasn't allergic to dust. I was allergic to gluten. And gluten caused a condition known as hay fever. So I have successfully helped pediatric nutrition cases in our clinic where children have come in at the age of 3 to 9, constant colds. They've come to Uncle Ryan, the nutritionist, and nutrition tuitions with me and a saliva DNA test. And 3 months later, with a battle of the parents and the kid, I want pizza, I want biscuit, I want cake, I want this. You're not going to eat. You're not going to eat. And then suddenly the kid gets up in the morning as breathing clearly and playing tennis like nobody's business. And how do I know that they're really good? Resting heart rate comes down. So children who have very high resting heart rate, they're sleeping at night with clogged nose because they're eating foods that are creating more mucus secretion. They think it's a dust allergy, but it could not be a dust allergy if they have tested DNA for gluten as well as lactose. Now, I've not written about lactose, which comes from the dairy products.
Yeah.
But, you know, as a nutritionist, it's not about my book. It's about, is the world getting smarter and learning to eat scientifically? Or are we still eating out of love and culture that has been handed down from my parents? And like my mother said to me last week, she says, but you know, we ate all of these foods, but my mother had lesser pesticide in her total exposure on the planet. My mother had better minerals in the soil as compared to the same bindi or lady's fingers that I'm getting. So nutritional deficiency, excess pesticide spray, more stress in the workplace because you have to now reply to people within an hour, whereas in the olden days, we didn't even have a phone line. So you'd wait 2 months for a postcard to come to you. So you marry all of these things together and it's a recipe for success or a recipe for disaster in your gut.
Well, I'm processing all the information, especially the one that you correlated hay fever and gluten sensitivity. That was something.
There's another thing for all the mothers out there. If children get too many cavities, it's actually because of gluten. If they are gluten sensitive, there was a pediatric study done in Israel by a dentist on the celiac patients having higher number of cavities. And when they went off a gluten diet and they went gluten free, the number of caries and cavities dropped. So when I wrote this book, there was a lot of research that was already conducted and done because my son was the youngest tested nutrigenomics kid in India, maybe even in the world from a nutrition perspective. So I constantly, as a father, was like, I want to feed him milk. I want to feed him bread. You know, I want to feed him pastries. But between the ages of 2 and 6, I saw that whenever I did that, he slept at the night breathing through his mouth. And every time he got up in the morning, he was cranky. But when I did a simple experiment of 3 to 5 days, no gluten and no dairy, he was breathing through his nose tonight because I would go and check. I would put my ear to his nose and I would close his mouth purposely. So he was like my little guinea pig. And he would continue to breathe his nose. But if he was on gluten or lactose and I held his nose, he would try and, like, he was struggling to get the breath. Those small things helped me join the dots that the DNA told me is gluten and lactose intolerant. But as a parent, I didn't want to believe it. So I allowed a little bit of exposure. But the moment you put it, so like my kid goes for a birthday party today and he's like, Dad, can you call up the host and please tell them that they need to keep a gluten-free cake? So my son goes for a party with a gift and a box of gluten-free cupcakes.
Right.
Because he doesn't want to be left out of eating cake in that party. And now a lot of our friends know he's gluten intolerant. So they actually order a special cake for him.
Right.
And I genuinely believe that as the world goes forward, we will discover that at least 50% of the population is lactose and gluten intolerant. And we will begin to avoid those foods on a regular basis in our home. And then maybe you have it as a weekly exposure when you go out for a reward meal or a cheat meal.
Right. Is there any type of wheat that's healthy, like whole wheat? People say it's healthier. Or is that also equally as damaging as...
Very good. I actually wrote this in the book, which is the ancient wheat was only 6 inches tall. The modern day wheat is as tall as me, about 6 feet.
Wow.
They did hybridization with grasses to get higher crop for more yield. And certain grasses had an ability to increase the plasticity or the, you know, when you do baking, you want that certain, I forgot the word, the threadability or, the, you know, the bread is elastic. So gluten, which contains two proteins, glutenin and gliadin, when you mix it with water and knead it, it begins to curl on itself and form that elastic-like properties which bread gets. And therefore, when baking it, the bread becomes much more softer because of the elasticity of this gluten. So a lot of wheats have this property, which have been inbred over centuries. But ancient wheat, which is more than 3,000 years, a wheat called Kapli wheat, or Kamut wheat, tends to have lesser amount of gluten in it and is far more digestible by a larger segment of the population. Though celiacs, in my opinion and in my experience, cannot digest that wheat. But people like me who are like, hey, you know what? I want to have a chapati. I want to have a croissant every now and then. If it was made from kamut or kapli wheat, I'll happily take it because the next day I know I won't get a pimple. My nose doesn't get blocked and I don't get a massive headache 48 hours later.
Is that easily available, this ancient cup?
Absolutely. Cup absolutely. Again, in my book, I've listed the Fantastic. Different brands that are available. So I've built it for the 1.3 billion Indian population because it's a ready reckoner. I don't know if people will go to this direction, but I'm hoping they join the dots on the symptoms, which is cold, too much of potty every day, explosive potty, adult acne, children's acne, blocked nose, cavities, too much of inflammation in the blood in ESR and C-reactive protein. You can do the blood test for gluten sensitivity. Very interesting. My blood test for gluten sensitivity is negative. My food intolerance for celiac disease is negative. My food intolerance report is thumbs up. For gluten sensitivity, and my genetic test is thumbs up for gluten sensitivity. So there's something also known as non-celiac gluten sensitivity. So you need not have a disease, but you're sensitive to gluten. So they are researching this and studying this also. And there is a huge band of people. Like the other day, I was talking to somebody in the airport and a doctor, chief of medical staff, overheard me and says, don't believe in all this rubbish and all. You should eat whatever you want. And I was like, hang on, you're a doctor, but you have never studied nutrition.
Yeah.
So when somebody says, I have an acidity when I drink coffee, or I have pimples, and when I stop pimples, it disappears. The doctor tells you, continue doing that. It's okay, nothing. This is all hocus pocus. No, it's not hocus pocus. It's just that medical doctors have been put with blinders on to study only their subject matter. And if you break down, you go to a doctor for healing. I predict, and it is happening now, if you watch in America, 90% of the doctors are moving to holistic medicine, what we in India have done for centuries in terms of Ayurveda.
Right.
Which is integrating wellness into our lifestyle. So if you go into traditional Indian meals, you will find that chapatis existed in the form of bakri, jowar, ragi, amaranth, okay? Akhi roti, rice roti. Wheat started propagating after the 1960s in the Green Revolution.
Right.
Because India needed to be fed. Poverty needed to be lifted. We needed crops that would feed a billion people. Right? Mm-hmm. So at that point, you have to understand, wheat was the cheapest crop with the least amount of water requirement. So over a period of time, when something like wheat gives you a great product and is economical, you'd go for that as a normal option. And think about it, Manini. If you and I are wheat owners and we own 90% of the wheat farms in India, what will we say? We will invest in marketing that says wheat is healthy. Same thing has happened in dairy in India with the largest cattle in the world, which means you'll produce the largest amount of milk. So what would you do? Milk is healthy.
Right.
But have you checked your bio-individuality? So I'm going to be challenged. I'm going to be shot down as a charlatan of stupidity, saying that he's got no knowledge about nutrition and milk. My clinic has been running very successfully. We have half a dozen of the best celebrities in the world. Simple logic. Come, get tested, figure out what works for you, figure out what doesn't work for you, build that into a nutrition program.
Yeah, absolutely. You're taking a very scientific approach when you're challenging these age-old norms and conditioning.
I'm going bio-individual. So one size does not fit all. So when doctors say to me, is it a peer-reviewed study with double-blinded plus blah, 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 I'm like, dude. In India, have you seen the number of languages? Have you seen the number of religions? Have you seen the genetic profile of India?
Right.
I have had a client test his ancestry gene and literally sued the lab. And that's why India is no longer doing the ancestry gene, because this Brahmin found out that he had a gene in him that did not define that class, which was very interesting. How do you know which grandfather in which century did what where?
Genetics,
diversity, and genetics inbreeding in our communities is very strong. Mm-hmm. Like certain communities in India marry within the same community for the last 2,000 years. Now, whatever you say, if you look at it from an evolutionary point of view, it's inbreeding. So when you have a disease factor, you compound it. So when you look at peer review studies, what population are you talking about? If Ryan Fernando is doing his genetics, who should he look at? Goan population, Tamilian population, South Indian. I have 9% Rajasthani gene, but I also have 11% Telugu gene. And my mom's a Goan and my dad's a Tamilian. And I have only 29% Tamilian gene. So I'm like, oh, wow. And my mom has Persian gene in her. So now suddenly you look at this, there's so much of diversity in my own genetic structure. My bio-individuality will kick in. And therefore, the cholesterol average taken for 10,000 people in India in a blood test may not subscribe to my range. So I could be an outlier, have a high cholesterol or a low cholesterol and still be very healthy. So you should check a person within the bio-individuality sphere of their own existence. And that patient or client is a scientific study in their own right, in their own ecosystem, taking parallel examples from studies that have been conducted and do the test on them for a singular outcome for that person. That's what we do at Core Nutrition.
Fantastic. I just want to switch tracks a bit. Like in the beginning of our conversation, you said you had to counsel someone, you know, not to have pizza, like someone who has this gluten intolerance or insensitivity. So I just want to bring in the concept of food psychology for a bit. Like I have a craving, tomorrow is the weekend. I have a craving for either a cake or some French fries. Is there anything that you can tell me, like, which is the healthier sort of craving to indulge in? Cake versus French fries? Like, how do you sort of, especially now weekends are associated with us going out and, you know, you want to have like a snack or something that you like, even if you're healthy during the week. Where does food psychology come into the whole bit?
So we actually do a genetic testing in the clinic for the snacking gene, the overeating gene, and the tendency to choose fatty foods and sugary foods.
So you're saying even that lies in your genes?
That lies in your genes. So hang on. Now, if I get in your genetic testing that you don't have a predisposition to sweet food or fatty food, or you don't have the snacking gene or the overeating gene, then I know your craving is physiologically driven, not psychology. So psychology is brain, physiology is the system. So physiological would be you have a nutritional deficiency. An ancient man, when he or she had nutritional deficiency, the crop that they went to was sweet because fruits contained the most valuable amount of vitamins or minerals in it. Now, in today's day, we have transcended with food processing and food marketing companies, which are able to generate the five or six tastes, which foods not in a packet cannot do all of them together. Like an avocado will give you bland and mild sweet, but little bit savory. But a Lay's chips can give you all five flavors, which tickles your taste buds to orgasms. And now when you have that orgasmic sensation on your taste buds, your brain fires at the pleasure center. For example, wheat, glutenin, milk, casein, and opium, and sugar, all four, if you look at a PET scan of the brain, when you're eating this, all these four fire the same pleasure center in the brain, which means your food addiction is driven by an addiction, a toxic addiction. You're like a drug addict because you've been given the nasha of taste. Have you ever seen that Instagram video where the baby gets an ice cream and just grabs ice cream, goes like that, and then refuses to release the ice cream? that's the pleasure center firing, right? Mm-hmm. And now the caveman behavior kicks in, which is, I need that food. Mm-hmm. So your psychology now has to come in with a genetic test. Oh, I did my gene test. I don't have these genes. So it is psychologically driven. So then you need food behavior counseling, which is why we are very successful, because, you know, there are half a dozen of these tech companies that have come and doing the genetic testing and automatic diet plans. And they have come to me and they've asked me, what's your secret and stuff like that. I just laugh at them. I was like, listen, dude, you will never succeed with an app. I'm not afraid of artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence, Manini, will tell you what's wrong with you, but mm-hmm. you need somebody to hold your hand in the journey of being disciplined. The last time you were held accountable was when you were in school. Yeah. Or you are being held accountable right now in your job. But other than that, in the field of eating, neither your spouse, your loved ones, or your parents, or your colleagues or friends hold you accountable. In fact, if you see, I have done research where the mothers, the spouses, mm-hmm. And both male and female, the girlfriend, the boyfriend, the friends are the reason why people psychologically fail in their goals. Because chodo na, one day is okay, you can have it. Nothing is going to happen. Yeah, would you do the same thing for heroin? Would you do the same thing for ganja? But they stimulate the same pleasure centers in the brain. So, you know, when I see people going out and force feeding themselves in airports and on planes and in restaurants and all, and you can see that, you know, when you go out for dinner, you've had a full meal, you're stuffed, and the waiter will come and is, what's for dessert?
Yeah.
You go on the plane, sir, would you like to order something? Dude, it's just a two-hour flight. Why do I need to order something on a two-hour flight? So I'm just saying that the human race has got exposure to so much of temptation, the desire to be disciplined. You know, you get tempted, it's very difficult to get to have a resolve, and especially with food. And I had this lovely video come up yesterday where this kid ate two samosas and he showed that he had to run for 4 hours. Right? So that was very interesting. That was very, very interesting because he stopped, go, and he had to burn 570 calories. And a moment on the lips is forever on the hips. The problem is when it's on the lips, nobody's able to see the hips in forecasting data. And everybody is being told, don't eat the pleasure, so stop the pleasure. But when you stop the pleasure, you're not seeing the benefit of being healthy or the benefit of not getting the fat or the benefit of not getting a heart attack, because those are intangible.
Right.
However, when you cross the 50-year-olds, they begin to understand the value. And this is, Manini, my key statement to anyone watching. Your body is the most expensive real estate.
Oh, fantastic.
Are you a tenant in your body or are you a landlord in your body? So, Manini, tomorrow when you decide to eat a cake or a French fry, I would say that your body needs an acai bowl, a healthy latte with the right antioxidants in it, because your body is like the most expensive real estate you'll ever own. You can't sell it. You can't change it. You're stuck with it to your last dying breath, and it's only getting dilapidated and worn down every day. But if you renovate it every day, like a landlord, it doesn't age. This happens in the 50 plus because they figured it out. 20 to 50, everyone's like, let's have fun, let's enjoy. Yeah, so I would say to people, forget the Louis Vuitton bag, forget the Gucci trousers, forget the Rolex watch, forget your Aston Martin. I have a client who has 8 Rolls Royces and he's like, I could not do anything in COVID when I lost 2 family members. I couldn't get to the hospital. I couldn't do stuff. He says, your health is the most valuable asset. And this is coming from a man who's a billionaire.
Right. Since you mentioned COVID, do you find like people are more conscious of their health now as opposed to the pre-pandemic days?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. It has, my fortunes have changed because of COVID. And not in a, I'm not saying this, like I'm happy that the pandemic happened. A lot of people lost their lives, but my fortunes changed because that logic arrives at the fact of the matter is that exactly this billionaire said, I need to take care of my health. What's the point if I have 8 Rolls Royces parked in my garage?
He couldn't take it. He couldn't go anywhere with it. What's the point, right?
His whole point is my body is my Rolls Royce and what am I doing to it? So not only the billionaire, but I've had everybody. My housekeeping came to me one day and saying, sir, I'm getting overweight. I'm getting breathlessness. I'm getting high cholesterol. What should I do? Mm-hmm. People who message me on Instagram are from all walks of life. I'm talking about people who have a mobile phone, okay? I've not gone deep dive into rural India where people are trying to make ends meet and get a square meal on the table. This is a different equation. We're talking about 300 million affluent Indians who've got TV, who've got the ability to watch this episode, you know? And from that perspective, yes, people are investing more in a trainer. People are investing more in nutritional supplements. People are coming to us in the diet plan and stuff like that. So that really, really works.
Okay, great. Ryan, so now I just want to ask you a fun question. Like, you've interacted with so many famous, you know, celebrities, sports stars. Do you have like a fun anecdote that you want to share? Something that maybe you came across someone and that aspect of them shocked you, like a fun interaction or something that you totally didn't expect? Or maybe you met someone that completely lived up to your expectations.
One thing about all, I can give you small snippets for each one. And I remember Amir Khan when we did the dungle role and I was contracted as, so I won two Olympic medals with Sushil Kumar. So when he was doing the dungle wrestling movie to morph his body from 96 to 68 kgs, he wanted the nutritionist who worked with Sushil Kumar. So when I went on set with him and showed him his genetic nutrition testing and his nutrition plan, I found out that Amir Khan is probably the most perfect man I've ever met. He found a mistake in my diet chart. I had lemon water in one location and nimbu pani in another location. And they had a 4-calorie difference and this man spotted it.
Oh, wow.
Because in my software, we entered nimbu pani separately and lemon water, lemonade separately. But in technicality, they're both the same thing. So that's one thing about Amir Khan. With Virat Kohli, an amazing gentleman, I got my payment in 11 minutes.
Wow.
Of having a conversation with him. I didn't expect it. You know, normally the celebrities take their own sweet time to pay you even after 1.5-2 months. I have Shahid Kapoor. So down to earth that it's like, I know why film stars have these barriers because they can't talk to everyone. They don't have the time and people invade their privacy. But when you're behind closed doors with them, he could be my best friend from college. That cooler guy. Fardeen Khan taught me one thing in life. Mm-hmm. Respect everyone from the security guard to your housekeeping. When he was in my clinic and we were doing all the testings and all the plans, the 3 hours that he was there, everybody was in awe of him, and every service provider that we used for Amir Khan called me back and said, the guy is a gem because of just the way he treated technicians, blood testing technicians, genetic testicians, poop analysis technicians, everybody. And so I was like, wow, there's something that I could learn from him. Abhishek Bachchan, that guy is a gentleman, and I know why Aishwarya Rai married him. Because he is a gentleman through and through. I mean, everybody else is nice, they're beautiful, they're handsome, they're this. But that man, you know, there's an ad, Raymond's a complete man. Abhishek. That would be Abhishek Bachchan. So I would strive to be that person. And who else? In the cricketing world, Mayank Agarwal is an amazing down-to-earth cricketer. Robin Uthappa has been a friend and a business partner. He invested in one of the nutrition businesses we did. Just a solid guy, you know. Robin is amazing. Robin actually bought 15 diet plans for his friends because he wanted all of them to get healthy around him. So earlier they would all meet up in pubs and cafes. Now all of them are meeting up for walks and runs and hikes.
That actually makes a lot of sense, right? Your environment really also determines your lifestyle.
Absolutely.
And how you can stick to your diet.
I can't take the name of this another billionaire client that I have, but he's like, Ryan, tune kya kiya? Mera sab dosto udha diya. So I was like, kya ho gaya, sir? Pehla to 1 liter ka Johnny Walker pee raha hai, abhi 1 liter ka chamomile tea pee raha hu. Ye chamomile tea koi taker nahi, sab naya aa gaya. So I said, who are the naya friends? He says, I've got Mercedes-Benz Cycling Club. I have started hiking trail. I've joined the CrossFit group and I've joined Zumba dance. So these are all my new friends. I said, purana friends, arey yaar, nobody wants to drink with me. Now they're getting a complex because I've got a six pack and they have all bellies. So I've literally lost my friends.
Oh, right. No, that's
right?
another aspect, like, you know, like you correctly addressed, like your environment really matters. And if your social circle is always indulging in bad habits, it's very difficult for you to kick it off as well.
I will give you secrets. In my own company, people come in tired. People come in fat. People come in obese. People come in as smokers. In 6 months, without doing anything, they're just surrounded by people who are healthier, a boss who's a little bit, hey, I can smell smoke on you. I told you I'm going to fire your ass if you're going to be smoking.
Right.
And this just the environment that you're surrounded. So if your corporate is healthy, and I'm trying to get corporates in India to not lip sync service, you know, but to really go down and help employees with genetic testing, diet plan. Like, Manin, if you do a gene test, you don't need anyone to motivate you about gluten because you'll have a guilty conscience. Oh, shit, Ryan told me that I should avoid gluten. So then you're happily biting into a croissant and then a pimple pops up, you get bad poop or your nose gets blocked or you start sneezing. You're kind of like, could that be the linking to the whole thing?
Yeah, because right now, a lot of us are in ignorance. We don't really know what affects our body and how. So yeah, of course.
That's a nice term. A lot of us are in ignorance, and you're absolutely right. And then the older generation says, we lived in ignorance and nothing happened to us.
Yes, yes. The older generation will say we had bigger problems to face in life. We used to have everything. You guys are all in this gluten-free, sugar-free diet. What is the big deal? But the environment is very different, right? The situations and the variables that we are facing today are very different from our previous generation. So, and also today we're living in a world of information. So if you have information in your fingertips, that is power and that is key to changing everything in your life. So it's fantastic. Now I just want to like switch tracks again, and I want to ask you a couple of rapid fire questions. So answer like quickly without a lot of thought. Okay. So the first question is your favorite unhealthy snack that you enjoy.
French fries and gluten-free Christmas cake.
Okay, fantastic. Your comfort food?
Dal and rice with chicken.
Nice. Tell me three Instagram accounts that you follow and you enjoy in the health and the nutrition space.
That's easy. I love Dr. Daniel Amen. He's a brilliant mind in the mind. My favorite person in the movement space and exercise space is Shwetambri Shetty. I think she's an amazing soul that is making people move. And the other person that I love to follow is it's a tug of war between maybe Dr. Mark Hyman and Dr. Lee. These two guys. Right. And the reason I follow these doctors is because a lot of content they're putting out inspires me to break it down into the nutrition department because they're already doing that.
Right.
You know, those are my favorites.
Name three supplements that one must absolutely have.
Magnesium, specifically magnesium glycinate. But no more than 300 milligrams. Please get a blood test done. This is not public advice. You shouldn't take it without a prescription from your doctor or nutritionist. A protein powder if you weight train heavy at 25 to 30 grams with fiber in it. If you only do yoga, walking, Pilates, and running, you need only 15 grams of protein, which can come from your diet normally. And the third one is I would either do coffee, one cup, pre-workout, I would do essential amino acids or branched-chain amino acids, 5 grams during my workout to kind of get a jhatka. I would not do a multivitamin.
You would not? We have to address that. Why not?
Everyone is
having a multivitamin. Every doctor prescribes it.
All doctors do it correctly for 30 days, but all of us self-prescribe then for the full year. All multivitamins have anywhere from 200% to 8,000% recommended dietary allowance, which means it's from double the dose to 80 times the dose. So you're taking it on a regular basis to bump it up for 3 weeks is what doctors do. But you take it out of prescription and you take it continuously. So now you have an effect where you're overloading the body. And there are research papers which say vitamin A can cause cancer, eye cancer, breast cancer, ovarian cancer. You have mineral toxicity from selenium to chromium. So what I say, do a blood test. And when you do a blood test, don't do the standard blood test. Do the vitamin and mineral profile. In fact, if people are following me, go to my Instagram profile and click the link on my bio. It will take you directly to where you can get these blood tests. The whole list is over there. Now, once you get these vitamins and minerals, say, Manini, you're like, I'm deficient in B6. Why should I take a multivitamin of A, right. D, E, K, B1, B2, B6, B9, B12 when I'm only deficient in B6? So now I find out the B6 vitamin foods and I take a vitamin B6 twice, thrice a week. Okay. And then I test 3 months later, boom, if it's gone up, hey, I'm good. Has any other guy fallen down? No. So now you'll tell me that, but the vitamin mineral testing is at 6,000 rupees for all of them. And I have to do it twice a year, which is 12,000 rupees. But your vitamin purchase is about 1,500 to 2,000 rupees per month, which is 24,000 rupees, and it could be slapping you. Right. So be smart on that. Don't do a multivitamin. Check with your nutritionist. And as a nutritionist, I do prescribe a multivitamin, but I have a secret way of staggering the supplementation. And that's why I win Olympic medals and Guinness World Records. So that's what people need to do. Go scientific. Information is power.
Yes. The last book you read.
I forgot the title of the book, but it's about peak. Yeah, I remember it. Peak Sleep Performance Athletes, written by Dr. Shane Criado, who is one of the assistant doctors to Dr. Danny Lehman. And it talks about sleep. And I love a point in that book because it blew me out of the water and it's caused me to go to sleep early every day. 1.5 hours of lesser sleep in a day reduces your daytime alertness by 32%. There was a scientific study done. Tennis serving accuracy drops by 41% on 1.5 hour lesser sleep. And athletes who slept 10 hours got higher basketball accuracy. So I would just say sleep is the new diet. And all of us can pause Netflix. All of us can hold our social media. All of us should not be on these blue screens. So you need to get glasses which have those special. So I'm using my other glasses. If you see me in other videos, I have another glass that's my daytime. But these are my nighttime glasses to shield me against the blue ray, which activate me at night. So that's an amazing book to read.
Fantastic. What's your favorite travel destination? Paris is out. I know that.
I hardly travel much because I'm a creature of habit. I love my own home. I love my bed. I love the food at home. But I think if I had to settle down in any part of the world, I would go to Sikkim.
Sikkim.
Because it's an organic state. So everything grown over there is organic. So I just found out that I can't own a farmhouse over there. It's only for Sikkim people, but that would be the destination. I would live in any city that said we are going to grow organic and eat organic.
Nice. Your favorite movie star?
Okay, you're putting me in a position.
Yes,
now.
I know that.
You're really putting me because
you know so many.
I will get a call from somebody. Why didn't you mention my name? Now I'm going to be safe in this one. And my favorite movie star has to be Ben Affleck from Hollywood. If you force me to put a gun to my head in India, I would say Rajnikanth.
Okay.
Because I have not yet done his diet plan. And for me to do Rajnikanth's diet plan would be, you know, you get all the memes about Rajnikanth.
Yeah.
I would love to be remembered in history as even Rajnikanth went to Ryan Fernando.
Oh, that's lovely. Let's put it out there in the universe. Your biggest fear?
My biggest fear is I won't be able to provide for my family and my employees in my company, which is why I am driven to push the boundaries of nutrition practice. Because when I started my company, I didn't have money. I come from a very basic middle-class family. I took the risk to become an entrepreneur. I know what it is to have disposed almost of 80% of all my assets and not have people come in for diet plans. But post-pandemic, it's changed completely. But I still have that fear that what if I'm not able to provide for my team?
Right. Thank you so much for sharing that. Your words are inspirational for many people as well.
Thank you.
You know, who's probably having the same fear. What's your typical Sunday like?
My typical Sunday starts at 5:30, 5:45 in the morning, where I have one of the best karate senseis in the world come home. And okay. We do 2 hours on fasted state of martial art training. I then have an amazing three-egg omelette made by my wife. And that's the only time I can eat eggs because I'm allergic to eggs as per my blood test. Right. But I can do it once a week. And then hang out with my brother's family for lunch. I do get called for a lot of events to speak. So it's kind of like, yeah, okay, I've got to go and change the world and get some more people to eat healthier. So we do that. Sunday's always having Krishna, who's my massage therapist. Hey, Krishna, are you available? Can I get a massage today? So he would come home. And I've invested in a few businesses across the world. Mm-hmm. And so I talk to those entrepreneurs. Hey, how's it going? How's your health? How's the business doing? What help do you need from me? So there's never a holiday. Every day is a blessed day to be working.
Yeah, but there's so much of energy off you that you're a very, like, you know, you radiate that. So I think a lot of people would like that energy, like to
It comes from the food, because look, at 48 years of age, half of my team is half my age. So we have got to be, the older generation has to be inspirational and also has to be motivating. So I can't be running a nutrition clinic for some of the best people in the world and have half the energy that is required. So I think it's important that people see me very disciplined when I eat. And it's not because I'm a nutritionist. It's actually because I run a company that requires me to have a lot of energy. And I think this is the message that needs to go out to all entrepreneurs. You need to be ruthless in the security, and you know, your body is the most expensive real estate. So then that vibrates, and then that goes out to your team, and then your team vibrates, you know, that way.
Yeah. I was going to ask you for your parting words, but I don't think you could have put it any better.
Your body is the most expensive real estate is my parting.
Yeah. Words. Your body is the most expensive real estate. Information is power. So get tested, get that information. And so you can make better informed choices for your diet. And like you said, entrepreneurs have to be ruthless, but with a positive energy so that you radiate and you vibrate that to people who work with you to inspire them. So actually, you are changing the world, you know, like small step at a time.
Thank you for saying that.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
That wraps up a great weekend, actually.
That's fantastic. I had a great time having this conversation with you. I know you're a very busy man, so thank you so much for taking the time out to have this conversation with me. I gathered so many insights, and I'm definitely going to get in touch with you after this for my own personal testing and diet.
You have my number. Hit me up, okay?
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.